Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, and healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. This week, as part of our Speaking Out video series, we spoke with Dr. Ruben Mesa from the MPN Education Foundation and director of the Mays Cancer Center at UT Health San Antonio about myeloproliferative neoplasm diagnoses and why it's key for patients and caregivers to understand the disease to have improved conversations with physicians.
We are going to kind of just talk about the basics of the disease. So to start with that, can you explain how rare MPNs are?
So as I like to explain to my patients, you know, MPNs are not rare, but they're not common. You know, so they comprise about 300 to 350,000 individuals affected with these diseases across the United States, between myelofibrosis, roughly about 20 plus thousand, and about 150,000 or so patients with essential thrombocythemia, and 150,000 or so with polycythemia vera. There certainly are some diseases that are much, much more rare, but clearly there are diseases that are much more common.
And so with that, how do you think the rarity of these diseases affects awareness around the disease?
Without question, it still is a group of diseases that largely are not on the public consciousness. You know, so as patients have the disease, it is challenging to have a disease that's not being talked about on Good Morning America or The View, or other kind of widely held platforms. So that most patients, when they're diagnosed, it's really the first time they've heard about these diseases. And more importantly, their support structure, their friends, their family, their employers aren't very familiar with them. And that frequently puts a patient in a bit of a tough spot, having to both share that they have this diagnosis, but also kind of explain, you know, how, what it is, how severe it is, et cetera.
Right. And so do you think this also highlights the fact that there's a need for more research in this disease state?
I think without question, you know, this is a group of diseases that is linked with other diseases that in aggregate, you know, really does make it a much more common group of problems. You know, so the MPNs are a type of a chronic leukemia. And again, so they're relatives of other diseases like myelodysplastic syndrome, chronic myeloid leukemia, acute myeloid leukemia, you know, and in aggregate, these are diseases that are not uncommon, and they're particularly common as we get older. So as our population is graying, the prevalence of these diseases, you know, is increasing. So the understanding of why people develop these diseases, why they're linked with aging, how we screen for them, how we prevent them, how we treat them is incredibly important. Advances in research in MPN patients might help many other patients with other types of blood diseases and vice versa.
Definitely. And so I know you'd mentioned when we were discussing the different types of how rare they were, but can you just kind of in simple terms explain the main types of MPNs and how they're kind of different from one another?
Of course. So first, there's essential thrombocythemia. These are diseases in particular where patients have an elevation in their platelet count. They can have an elevation in the white blood cell count, but the elevation of the platelet count is really the hallmark of the disease. We believe the disease itself really originates in the early cells from the bone marrow. Second is the disease of polycythemia vera. Here, it is really characterized by an increase in the number of red blood cells, but there can also be an increase in the number of platelets or white blood cells. And similarly, a stem cell disease of the bone marrow. Finally, there is the disease of myelofibrosis. Now, this tends to be a more advanced disease in individuals that had progressed from previously having essential thrombocythemia, or what we call ET, or polycythemia vera, or what we call PV. So people can progress from one of those into myelofibrosis, or people might have myelofibrosis as really the initial diagnosis that they have. Patients with myelofibrosis tend to have an enlarged spleen, They have significant scarring in the bone marrow. They actually can tend to have low blood counts.
So after receiving a diagnosis, what is the best way for patients to learn more about their disease?
Fortunately, there are some very high quality materials out there. First, they should really learn from their doctor and have their doctor certainly describe, you know, in their own words, what they feel the disease they have, what are the implications, what are the implications in terms of therapy. Frequently, it's a lot of new information for patients. So I certainly welcome patients in my practice to take out their smartphone and tape the discussion so that they can both hear it, but they can also share it with loved ones if they were not in the room, or things of that nature. There are some high quality educational materials, both from our Education Foundation, the MPN Research Foundation, the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, amongst others. Now, as with all good patient education, it's important that you're reading the right material that is specific for your disease. There's more than one type of MPN, and even within the MPNs, there is a wide range in terms of how individuals are affected. So important that they do reading, but reading that is guided or selected by their physician or healthcare provider to be sure that they're reading accurately regarding their disease. Similarly, if they're on medications, there's typically educational materials regarding those medicines that their healthcare provider may be able to point them to so that they can best learn about which therapy they are on.
Absolutely. And so I know we previously discussed that, you know, the disease is obviously kind of on the rarer side. So usually, obviously, patients have never heard of it. But moreover, why is it important for a person's loved ones or their caregivers to also learn more about this disease type?
Well, disease like this, it's a chronic disease. So for most individuals, we expect this is a disease they're going to be with for the rest of their lives. So individuals that are important in that individual's life, it's good that they understand what they're facing, both in terms of if there needs to be accommodations. There are sometimes that patients have accommodations at work. If they have difficulties with fatigue and have a hard time working a traditional schedule or other sorts of physical activities or things of that nature, certainly in terms of their loved ones, in terms of understanding what they're going through and supporting them. Not infrequently, MPN patients can have symptoms, but that are not overtly obvious. I mean, patients might suffer from significant fatigue that is from the disease. It can be limiting, but they don't look any different. You know, so as we try to support those individuals as a caregiver or loved one, it's important for us to know that, to be able to help and support them.
Definitely. And so with that, after receiving a diagnosis, why is it key for a patient to seek a specialist that treats myeloproliferative neoplasms specifically?
The myeloproliferative neoplasms are relatively uncommon diseases. And many community hematologists and medical oncologists, you know, may have less experience with them. I will not say that that's universally the case, and that I certainly have found community hematologists that treat MPNs very, very well and have a reasonable number of patients and that experience. But for those that do not have that experience, or this is their first, or they just have a couple MPN patients, as a chronic illness, it frequently is helpful for many patients to also have seen an MPN specialist, of which many of the large cancer centers have someone that focuses on these now, so that they can be a helpful part of the treatment team in terms of assessing risk, discussions regarding therapy options, potential opportunities of clinical trials, or in those most advanced cases, inclusion of other specialists who focus on the therapy of bone marrow transplant. That tends to be more specific for individuals that have higher risk myelofibrosis. But again, as you can get a sense, with MPN patients, sometimes they really need an entire healthcare team, not just one individual helping care for them.
Right. And so with that, can you maybe just explain, I know you mentioned the entire healthcare team. So can you explain how a multidisciplinary approach comes into play when it comes to MPN care?
Well, with MPN patients, first they have their main provider, which is typically a hematologist. that is certainly helping guide therapy, adjust medications, prescribe medications, things of that nature. Without question, that individual has their own team that are key parts of that care. That can include a nurse, that might include a nurse practitioner, an MA that are helping track symptoms, track medications, toxicities, interval symptoms, or other issues which arise. There are times, clearly these individuals will have a primary care physician. And again, how this relates to the rest of their health care is important. And that is another key part of that team. So if I have a patient from a distance, they need phlebotomies, they need other things, I'm interacting with their primary care physician. If they have other medical problems, I may be interacting with their ophthalmologist, asking about, is it okay for them to have their cataract surgery or their knee replacement with their orthopedist? Or if they have a heart attack, was it from the MPN? Was it independent of the MPN? Interacting with a cardiologist. So again, they're their broader healthcare team, but as a core part, it at least includes a primary care doctor, a hematologist, nurses, MAs, NPs, et cetera.
Right, absolutely. So we talk a lot about the fact that, you know, being your own best advocate is key, and being the best informed that you can be going into any appointment with your physician, really. But how can patients become better informed? So then that way maybe we can improve those patient-physician discussions and kind of make an MPN diagnosis a little less overwhelming.
So I think really following some of those great materials from some of those sources that I quoted, Leukemia Lymphoma Society, ours, and others, are really key. You know, I think understanding a bit about what is the disease, some of the evolving understanding we have regarding genes such as JAK2 and what role they play, what we are monitoring, if a patient is on therapy, what to expect with that therapy, but why are they on the therapy and what are the expectations and what to watch out for in terms of progression. Indeed, you know, usually if there is a change or a problem, it doesn't conveniently occur at the time of a pre-scheduled visit with your healthcare provider. It occurs at some other time. So having that partnership where they, again, can recognize that there's a difficulty and be able to alert their team is really key.
Definitely. So, and like I mentioned, obviously, I think any cancer diagnosis can be overwhelming. But are there certain questions or things that patients and caregivers should be mentioning so that maybe we can streamline that conversation between patients and their caregiver, or I'm sorry, patients and their physicians?
Well, I think one, they really need to be able to relate to their physician, what sort of symptoms or difficulties the disease is giving them. You know, what really has changed? How is it affecting them? You know, some patients are more reluctant than others in bringing these things up. They don't want to feel like they're complaining or things of that nature. Again, this is not complaining. You are sharing that with, you know, a crucial relationship with your healthcare provider so that they can help you. Sometimes how you're feeling might impact our choice of therapy or adjusting the dose in therapy. Additionally, you know, sharing with your physician any side effects that you might be having from your treatments is very important. There are treatments that might give you ulcers in your mouth that can make it make you uncomfortable, make it difficult to eat. Clearly, you would want to share that with your physician. We most certainly would not want to raise the dose of a medication if it was giving you mouth sores. In fact, we might choose to change it to a different medicine that you might feel better on. The goals of our treatments are to make the disease as invisible in your life as possible. You know, in the ideal world, we could cure the disease, and clearly research is ongoing to try to find a cure. But until we do, if we're able to make the disease as invisible in your life as possible, that is a very good goal.
Definitely. So to kind of bring it all together, as a healthcare provider, what would you say is your biggest piece of advice for a newly diagnosed patient with an MPN?
My biggest piece of advice is to learn a lot about your disease and also to make notes for yourself. both in terms of what you have, what they expect, what questions you have, so that you can relay those to your healthcare provider and really help to overcome that gap in knowledge and understanding. You know, I find that there can be tremendous distress for individuals because of their lack of familiarity with such a disease. Indeed, for many individuals, for most, they're diagnosed with this, it's the first time they've heard about it, and they have never known anyone else that has had the disease. So they don't have a good frame of reference. That creates a tremendous amount of uncertainty and distress. The more we can alleviate that, the more individuals are able to come to at least a comfortable understanding of their disease and work to try to move past that difficulty.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.